Thank you, Father. Turn to John chapter 16. We were here last week, talked about quite a bit of time, talked a lot about living in the Holy Spirit, and how the Holy Spirit's been given to us. And this is what Jesus prophesied and said this is what's going to happen. But there was one particular verse I wanted to pick up and then launch into today's topic and remind us of some of the covenant promises God has given, and then expand the way we think a little bit about a certain aspect of life that you get to rule and reign over, operate in. So John chapter 16 and verse 15 says this: "All things that the Father hath are mine, and therefore said I, he shall take of mine and show it unto you." So everything the Father has, Jesus has, which means you have also, okay? Colossians chapter 1, that's where we're headed. Just showing you the scriptures. Colossians 1 verse 16 says, "For by him were all things created." This is talking about Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, is verse 15. Verse 16 says, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him," which means they were created for you as well. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 to 22. It's part of Paul's prayer. We'll start in verse 19. "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power?" That's the fullness of the power of God that's in you, resides in us. "And what is the which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places," that same power that raised you and me, raised with Christ, "in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come." So above all things, that's where Jesus is, which means that's where we are. Change the way we think. "And hath put all things under his feet." Now, the feet at the bottom of the body. Yeah. Are you his body? So all things are under our feet. "And gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 17. Or verse 16, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Born into him, given new life, his DNA, "and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ." Just put those together and realize what you have, what we have been given, not because of anything we've done, but because of what Jesus has done, because of what he has done on our behalf, what he has given to us, the inheritance that we have. And during the week, I was listening to a particular message by a guy, and I'll mention his name because I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the experiences he shared. His name's Mike Parsons, okay, and he moves in the supernatural with Justin and those other folk that we've been listening to. And he has some unique experiences and some insights that he's passing on. And one of the things that struck me was he said, well, before I say that, let me go this way. Do you realize that, and I'm talking about time, okay, how we relate to time, and does God own time? Does he own time? He created it. So do you own time? Aha! Woo-wee! Okay, you're a joint heir with Jesus, and Jesus has everything God has. Okay, so that's why I was just sitting there meditating on that, wondering about what was to share today, and that the Spirit just came up in my spirit again and again. Time. Time. How many of you want to live a long time? A long and satisfying life. That's what you've been promised by covenant. And what the Lord was showing me is that when we engage time and use time the way God designed, we get to live a long time. All right? And time is one of those... Time itself is a created thing. We know God is outside time and he created everything. So if he created it, what we just read in Colossians there, Jesus created it. And he created it for a purpose, right? And it says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And as part of that creation, what did he do? He set the sun and the moon over the first day, and the second day he created. As part of that was he created time to govern, rule, or to order the universe. Now, we just read, we are above principalities, powers, everything created. We are on the throne with Jesus above all that. That means time is under your control. That takes a bit of a changing the way we think, because we've always thought we're under the control of time. You know, time's just going to march on and we've got to go through with time. But you're above time. You have authority over time. In the name of Jesus, we have. That means the Holy Spirit can teach us how to use it and not abuse it. Not be subject to it, but to use it for the purpose God designed it for. And that's what we call engaging time, is the term that I've heard used. It could be flowing with time, using time, making the most of time, benefiting from time. And the thing that Mike Parsons said that really got me was, he said, time is a being, a living being. Now, he's speaking from having met time himself and used time, worked with time to change time. Okay, and he gave specific examples. He said, for one example, he said, was he had to produce a set of slides for a meeting he was going to. He said it was about 100 PowerPoint slides for a meeting he was teaching. And he said he knew that it would take him, in the natural, 2 days to complete 100 slides, to write them, create them, put all the graphics, do everything in them. He said, and so he went to the Father and said, I only have an hour, Father. So he said, I'm engaging time in the spirit. He went into the spirit realm, engaged time, and said, time, I need to get this done in an hour. Started on his slides, finished the slide deck, 1 hour had gone. But to him, it was 2 days of natural time, but in fact, an hour of natural time only went past. Justin tells the story of when they were at a conference in England, not in Asia somewhere. And he said they were going to one of the top restaurants, and I forget which country it was, but they had an hour lunch break at the conference, and the restaurant was a half-hour drive. And so they, for some reason, they'd booked to go to that restaurant and come back again in time that one lunch hour. Well, that's basically get to the restaurant and come home again. And they got in the vehicle, and the pastor that was hosting the seminar said, you can do time miracles, Justin. Why don't you do one so we can go have lunch and come back and still be on time? So Justin engaged the spirit realm, and he said, spoke to it and said, we will have enough time. They went, they had a full meal, really enjoyed it, got back, and they were back 5 minutes before the session started again, 55 minutes later. I've heard, that was Nancy Cohen say, she was had to leave her home to get to the airport at a certain time. And she couldn't, she knew it was impossible to get there with the way the traffic was. And so she engaged time and said, Father, you know what I need. She got to the airport in plenty of time. God just made a way through all the traffic. Now, I've experienced that. Okay, I've experienced that where a journey that normally takes 12 to 13 minutes, I was there in 7 minutes. Okay, natural time. So time is something that we have the ability to control, but it's not so much that you control it, but that we work with it. And let me share a couple of scriptures the Lord gave me. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And so what I believe the Lord is sharing with us through this is simply to expand the way we think, that we're operating the way he wants us to operate, that we're not subject to time, that you just got to live your day to day and just be subject to it, but that you get to engage time and use it to do what God wants you to do. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. But in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, I called heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. You've all heard the scripture, right? Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Pretty good instruction. Choose life. Okay, and then he goes on in verse 20 and says, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days. That thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Now you know that all that is an analogy or a parable or a presentation of the life you get to live. So here where it says, to love the Lord your God, well you know that's what's happened. You love him because he's shed his love abroad in our hearts. We love him because he first loved us. We live in that state. We listen to his voice, we follow his direction, we operate in the natural through what he is seeing in the spirit, and we cleave unto him. For he is our life, right? He is the source. He is the supply. He is the energy. He is the everything that we live in. He is our be-all and end-all. So we cleave unto him, for he is our life and the length of our days. So the Holy Spirit wants us to enjoy length of days and long life, that covenant promise out of Psalms. With long life will I satisfy you, okay? So he wants us to enjoy that, but part of it is engaging his life and ruling over the circumstances in this natural world. And part of that is ruling over time, using time to operate the way he wants us to operate. Okay, and then it says that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now the land that was sworn to, that's the covenant God made with Abraham back in Genesis 15, which I've shared with you a number of times. The 10 nations, the 10 squatters that were in there, they have been removed. We live in the heavenly realm, in the real realm, where those things are part of what we've been given. Joy, peace, protection, provision, life, all those things that God has given to us. Okay? That's the land we dwell in now, and we're supposed to live a long life in that land. Divine welfare is one of them. Divine welfare. No sickness, disease, lack, failure, accidents, disasters, none of that is supposed to be in our lives. Okay, now the curse is out there trying to make it happen, but through our walking with the Lord and operating through the Spirit, we can control and stop that stuff happening. That's one of our privileges. Okay, so I'll share another story that Mike Parsons told. He said, and you might have heard a while back, the geologists and a lot of people predicting that Yosemite National Park, there was going to be a huge explosion of volcanic eruption and everything else. Okay. Yeah, and so Mike, on this tape, he was sharing some of the things that the Lord has had in the way he operates in the Lord in time. And he said he was in the Spirit somewhere in the universe, and he saw the earth, and he saw over Yosemite a really black, dark shield. And he couldn't see through it. And he was like, I wonder what that is. So he went there, and he said, I raised my frequency to the same frequency of the shield. Then I was able to go through the shield, and in there I found three beings. Destruction, disaster, and... No, there was another D. He had three Ds. Disaster, destruction, and devastation. They were the three beings he found in there, in that area. And he said immediately the natural mind would go, I need to rebuke them in the name of Jesus. He said, but he has learnt that that's not the way God does things. As my ears pick up, he says, no, God embraces them in love. He said, so I let the love of God flow out of me, and I embraced them in love. And he said, I realized that those three, and he could only remember the name of two of them, he said, their original names were creativity, which destruction, and I've forgotten the second one, I think it was due with devastation. Anyway, they were beautiful names about how those beings were supposed to operate, creating things, consisting things, building things. But they had been deceived by the enemy forces and had gone into destruction and devastation. And he said, I engaged them and brought them back to what they were, and that shield disappeared. And that's why there's been no disaster in Yosemite, in the natural, because he engaged and fixed the problem. Okay? And I'm sitting there going, and he's saying, now, this is not for everybody. So God has each of us in a different place doing different things. He says, but you need to learn in the Spirit how to operate like this so God can use you to the full extent of who you are, because you are a divine being. You're not just someone here on the earth hanging in there till you get to heaven. Okay? You have a purpose on the earth that God has for us to do in the real world, which influences the natural world, obviously, like we just saw in Yosemite there. So the time aspect of it is learning how to engage time. And Mike talked briefly about that. And that's where he said time is a being that you can relate to, like wisdom is a being that we can relate to and we get to know. And he said the key thing about using time is how you honor it and talk about it. And that was what struck me. Said, and when he says honor something, he means that you recognize that it has a purpose in your life, that God created it for a reason, and the time is created to keep everything in sync. so that the universe operates and everything works properly and things occur correctly. Now what has happened is the curse has come in and has made time a negative thing to our society. Right, you only have 70, 80, 90 years, that's all the time you've got each day, you've only got 24 hours, and it's made it a restriction on us as humans that this is what you have to operate under. He said the change that you have now when you realize you are in Christ and that you are over time, outside of time, above time, now you get to control time and say, use it for your benefit and say, thank you, Father, for 24 hours today to minister life. Thank you that I get to do what you want me to do. Let me give you a couple more scriptures, okay? Proverbs 3, verse 2. So engaging time is recognizing that God has created it for a specific purpose for us and that we get to use it and treat it the right way. And that's really what this is about. Engaging time is about not looking at it as a negative, but starting to speak about it positively. Engaging it, talking to it, using time the way God designed it. Proverbs 3 verse 2 says, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto thee. It's talking about the commands of the Lord, his heart, what he wants done. Length of days and long life and shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken, shall it add unto you. And then drop down again to verse 16. Length of days is in her right hand, talking about wisdom, and in her left hand riches and honor. So what is length of days? In verse 2 there it says length of days and long life. Two separate things. Again, shared this before. Length of days means in the 24-hour day that you have plenty of time to do everything God wants you to do. You have a long day. And length of long life means you get to stick around as long as you're walking with the Lord and he wants you here and you want to be here. Again, you control that. We are over time. We can slow time down. You can speed time up. You can go outside of time. You can even reverse time. That's what you're doing now that you're youthing. You're reversing time. Okay, you're getting younger. Thank you, Jesus. That's what we get to do. And you look at it, and Jesus is our pattern. How did Jesus handle time? Okay, it all helped him. He worked with time, okay? How about some key verse he gave me? John chapter 2, you can write this down, verse 9, okay, if you're keeping the scriptures. This is where Jesus turned water into wine. Now, you know how long it takes to make wine, or to turn water into wine, okay? The plant, the grapevine, has to take the water out of the earth, produce the fruit, then you've got to pick the fruit, press the fruit, let it ferment, put it in. It's years of process, right? Jesus did it in a few seconds. He probably in the spirit just engaged time and said, time, help me here. Bang, done. So there's one example. How about multiplying the bread to the multitude? This is Matthew 14, 19 and 20. They came with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus prayed over it. How long does it take to make bread? Well, you've got to plant the wheat seed. You've got to let the wheat grow. You've got to harvest it. Got to grind it. Got to bake the bread. It's a process, 6 to 7 months typically. What did Jesus do? He shrank that time down and had it done it in a very short period. I'd be interested to see how that happened. They broke the bread, gave them 2, and they became big loaves again. Broke that one, another loaf on each one. Interesting to see in the natural how that actually happened. But we know it did. Why? Because Jesus overrode time in this sense. He used it, shrunk it, and got it done a lot quicker than normal. I've heard Justin say that the time is coming in the near future when we will grow plants in a day. You plant the seed and you harvest the cabbage that afternoon. Because of the energy and engagement that we have with the Lord in what we get to use and operate in. So you have some guests show up, plant the seed in the morning and serve them a big dinner at night. Interesting. We have been conditioned by our experience and by our society to think of time as being a linear event that you have no control over. Exactly. It's just going to happen. Things are going to happen in time. Well, when you start seeing time as a being that God created and a frequency that it operates at, because every frequency goes, frequency is measured in cycles per second, typically, which is a time period. So time is a frequency. Interesting. And so God has given us that capability to do things beyond the natural expectation of the world. How about teleportation? You see it in all the movies. Where do those movies get this stuff from? The real world, right? Who teleported in the Bible? Philip, yeah? He was suddenly found from baptizing the eunuch. He was suddenly found 13 miles away in Azotus, right? Who else? All the disciples. Remember, they were in the boat halfway across the lake. Jesus walked up, got on the boat. Immediately, they were at the other side. I've heard disappeared, yeah? Didn't see him, yeah? Jesse Duplantis tells the story of one time he was running late for a meeting. He was driving his car and he just got into the spirit and was worshipping the Lord. When he came out, a few minutes later, he was at the meeting he was supposed to be at, which was a four-hour drive away. It went cloudy in the car. He couldn't see out, and the next thing he knew, he was where he was supposed to be. Learning how to engage time in the spirit, and that he had that experience. But what I'm hearing from some of the folk who operate in this way, like Mike Parsons, is it's something that you can learn how to use, having your spiritual senses exercised to do what the Father wants us to do. And that's growing in the Spirit. How about Jesus shrank time when he cursed the fig tree, right? Yes. It says immediately it withered. How long, you cut off something, cut off its roots, how long before it withers? It usually takes a few days, somewhat long, because it's got nutrients. Well, this happened. He spoke the word, it was done. Tree withered. How about the healings? You go to Mark chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. It says, and it was evening, and crowds, multitudes came, and he healed them all. I wonder how long that took. In our natural mind, we think, boy, if you've got to pray for every single person, and there's thousands there, that's a few days. It says he healed them all. Went into the spirit, and just bang. Yep, walked past him. The energy field that he was operating in, the power of God was so powerful that people got healed just sitting there because they believed it would happen. And they drew from him. He healed them all. So, time is not something to be afraid of or to regret or to think negatively about. Time is something that we get to use as part of our new creation lifestyle to use to fulfill our destiny. Now, in the quantum field, quantum mechanics, quantum anything, time, and they've proven this, that humans have this capability, that two people who are quantumly entangled can at the same instant know the same thing. This person feels it here, that person instantly feels it as well. Now you see that sometimes in twins. Okay, you'll hear that one gets hurt, the other one knows immediately that they were hurt, even though they're not together. That's outside of the natural realm of what we have been taught. But it is a reality in the spirit realm. Okay, that's why you can know what God wants at any point in time because you are entangled with him. Time doesn't come into it. One of the things Mike said that stuck with me was, speak well of time. Because most of us have been taught and trained over our years, I don't have enough time. How often have you heard that? Well, what you say, your spirit hears, your body hears, and thinks it's the truth, even if you're joking, right? So don't say that anymore. Say, thank you, Father, I have all the time I need. Time is on my side. Because my mother will say, no, time is against me. No, it's not. Time is on our side, okay? I don't have enough time. Well, what it says here, remove that negative way of thinking. You've run out. How many of you heard the saying, it's a time to die? Now it comes out of Scripture, out of Ecclesiastes. There's a time to die and a time to live. No. That was human philosophy. Okay. I'm just putting this out there. Okay. You take it, you leave it, you just absorb it and take it to the Lord and go, okay, Father, how do I engage time? But what we say is so important. That was Joshua. Yeah. Remember Joshua, that example? The Lord said, he said, back up the stairs, twice actually. The first time was when he said he commanded the sun to stand still over the valley of Ajalon and the moon over the valley of, and they fought for 23 hours, longer than a normal day. In fact, I heard this as a scientific thing that they discovered, was that the lunar cycle, and that we were missing a day. And they calculated that the sun going back up one step was 10 degrees, which equated to 40 minutes. And that when Joshua told the sun to stand still, it was 23 hours and 20 minutes it stood still. And that's the missing day. Okay, so scientifically they've shown that. So yeah, you can control natural time and use it for the benefit of the Lord. Okay, so how do we speak well of time? Well, you thank him that he's part of your life. Thank you that you've given me the opportunity to order my life. I honor you. Love our time and ask for his help. If you need to be younger, thank you, time, that you are making me younger. You're helping me become younger. So you're not lording over it, but it's a joy to work with time because he is there, created by God, to bless the universe, to keep it ordered. So be thankful for it, grateful for it. Work with him, not against him. Don't criticize him. Don't say, thank you, time. It just assumed that time was just a thing that happened. Everything God created has a spiritual force in it. Beings, created matter, stuff that has frequencies and operates in ways that beyond what our natural mind has comprehended. How do you handle jealousy? All of the negative stuff is a result of the curse. Okay? And the curse has come in, and the curse has been controlling time and controlling people through time. Engaging time on our behalf, we have been removed from the curse. We have been redeemed from the curse. We are no longer subject to the curse. Time wants the same. So we engage time and bring him with time and bring him with us and say, you're not subject to the curse in my life anymore. You're not subject to the curse over me, over my family. You get to work with me in blessing my family and healing my family and helping my family. Okay? And so using time the way God designed it to be used is part of our dominion, part of exercising the authority and the dominion we have been given over this natural world. And so releasing time from being subject to the curse is letting time work on our behalf to produce what God wants done, to reconcile all things into Christ. Now, I've heard Justin say that the time... That the time is coming, and he's seen it in the spirit realm in the future, where we will be healing trees, healing automobiles, making them brand new again. Yeah. Doing.
Well, it runs when it should. It runs all the time. I'm like, okay, this car is good. I'm going to keep it.
And that is using time the way time is supposed to be, stopping the curse operating, and let time be the facilitator of the blessing and the life that God designed. Good to better to best. Trying to conceptualize the reality. I'm putting it out there for you to find out from God how you use time, because I don't know it all yet. It's just something the Lord's been putting in my spirit that is coming out, that we need to engage and learn, and how to use time and to benefit from time, but to bless him as well in releasing him from being subject to the curse and all the negative things that happen. Now, this is a lot of this I'm just getting right now, okay? This is new to me too. But that's God's purpose. See, time was not created to be a negative thing. It wasn't created to limit your life. It wasn't created to control you. It was created for God's purpose of manifesting his glory, of showing how good he is, how orderly he is, how blessing he wants you to enjoy. We are living in Revelation. It was the negative side. Yep. Release them from being subject to the negative curse. And time is part of that. I also wrote down here, how many of you heard people saying, time is going faster? So let's slow it down. Now, I have heard a natural explanation as to why that happens. And that is, when you're young, 1 year is only, say you're 10 years old, 1 year is only a tenth of your life, so it seems long. When you're 60, 1 year is only a 60th of your life, so it seems a lot shorter. In the natural, that's what I've heard explained, okay? Now, is time speeding up? No. Time is always 1 second. It's always a set frequency, but you can adjust that. And it's our perception, it's whether we live above time, operating in the Spirit of God, or whether we let ourselves be subject to what this world says, this, or the curse has said, this is the way it's going to be. Longer? They seem to be longer. Yeah. Got so much done in such a short time. Yeah. And I've come to see life the same way, where every day is a blessing and we get to operate in it. And God has given us all this time to do things. And so today, Father, we get to do what you want us to do. We get to minister life. We get to operate in the Spirit. We get to speak the right way. Okay? Final thing I wrote down was, time was not created to cause aging. The curse uses time to destroy things. Okay? We have been loosed from the curse and loosed from the effects of time, the negative effects of time. So, engaging time. Don't see it as a negative thing. See it as a gift from God that we get to use to fulfill His purpose in our life. Thank you, Father. Father, thank you that you have given us everything we need, everything related to living in your life, everything for life and godliness. Thank you that you have given us time, not as a slave master, but as some way we can engage to work with, to produce your glory in this natural world, to restore and reconcile all things into Jesus. Thank you, Father, for teaching us how to work with time. Time, we honor you and thank you for what you're doing in our lives. And we give you permission to work with us. Thank you that you're doing that. Thank you, Father, for what you're leading us into and teaching us, and the revelations that you're giving us. Thank you for what a good God you are. We give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father.